Howdy, folks. Today, we're going to talk about how there is nothing in the scriptures that authorize abortions. And by abortions, we're going to define it through the scriptures to mean a child in the womb of a mother. Abortion, it's a hot topic. And right now, we are in the heat, as I record this podcast, of a presidential election in the United States of America, and neither of the candidates, both Democrat and Republican, are opposed to abortion. Both of them believe in the taking of innocent life, and they do so under different so-called standards, but neither one of them are seeking to protect the unborn. But it doesn't matter what they think. What matters is what God thinks. And we're going to start with this approach because the approach always needs to be, what does God authorize? You see, a lot of people, they get a lot of subject matter wrong because they go to scriptures for prohibition rather than authority. Meaning, what I mean by that is this. There are people that approach the Word of God as a do not book, wherein really we live under the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, and we need to approach the scriptures for what does God say is right, and not necessarily always looking to what does God say is wrong. There are things that aren't in the scriptures at all. You know, there's nothing in the scriptures that prohibit the usage of cocaine, but there are scriptures that tell Christians to be sober. And we study that, and we understand that. 1 Peter 4:7, 1 Peter 5:8, other passages. I need to always be clear in thinking. So what does God authorize? He authorizes me to be clear in thought. What do I need to avoid? Things that don't, right? So approaching the scriptures the right way, because it's what God says that matters. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The Apostle Paul to the Galatians says in Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. John in the book of Revelation says in 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We're going to answer to God? Doesn't matter what man thinks, because we ought not seek to please God. We were created for God's pleasure. Man is not our standard. We ourselves or other men. In Proverbs 3:5-7, so trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart for evil. In Proverbs 23:4, the first part of the verse says, labor not to be rich. Our point is the second. Cease from thine own wisdom. What about, but I know in my heart? Well, Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusts in his heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And likewise, when we think about man walking, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not man that walketh to direct his own steps. That's Jeremiah 10:23. When it comes to what the world says, should we listen to a presidential candidate? And if they give us a persuasive argument, and not just a presidential candidate, but any man or woman, if they give us a persuasive argument, are we to concede that their point is true? No. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 points here. Number one, as we're talking about abortion, one of the things that is commonly says is the woman's body. Listen, our bodies don't belong to us. We're to present our bodies to the Lord. That's what Romans 12:1 said. And then verse 2, we're not conformed to the world. We're to have a renewed mind, a renewed way of thinking, the Lord's way of thinking. Well, what about what intelligent people say? Well, the world's not full of intelligent people, by the way. But what about the argument that this person has a PhD or whatever? 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19 says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise and their own craftiness. Man is not the standard, and he cannot be trusted on his own to be the standard of morality." Psalm 94:11 says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." You know what man thinks? Abortion, because that's our subject matter, is the way to undo a mistake. Man will come up with a way to explain away sin, to explain away terrible acts. And they'll say, "Well, it seems good." Well, Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And that's repeated in Proverbs 16:25. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when Paul is talking about his preaching and how it's not after man's wisdom, he says in verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." Ladies and gentlemen, you can't rely upon man's wisdom. You can't think and consider from the standpoint of man's wisdom. You've got to look at God's wisdom. And we do that through His Word. His Word is the standard. Isaiah 8 and verse 20, the prophet says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them." Somebody wants to present that abortion is okay, they ought to be able to go to God's word and say, "Here is where God says, if a woman gets raped, kill the child," or in any other language. Because if they're not speaking according to His word, they're not people of light. When Jesus answered Satan, Luke 4:4, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That's the standard. The saints in Thessalonica were told in 1 Thessalonians 4:1 and 2, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Ladies and gentlemen, the evangelist Timothy was told in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17 to continue in the things which he had learned and had been assured of, knowing whom he had learned them. "That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, were actually able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." If abortion was a good work, God would tell us when to do it and how to do it. And we'd do it to His glory. Planned Parenthood, they're not operating according to the counsel of God. I don't know why they're called Planned Parenthood anyway. Does that make any sense? More like planned death of a childhood, not Planned Parenthood. Our Lord tells us what's good and what's right in His Word. His Word is the pattern. It's the form that we're to hold to. 2 Timothy 1:13, the evangelist Timothy is told, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." His Word, it's the standard that we live by. It's the standard that can save us. When Paul was departing from Ephesus, he told them upon his departure in Acts 20 and verse 32, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." It saves us. It's going to judge us. Romans 2:16, "The day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." We had a lesson not long ago where we talked about God's word being living. It's powerful. It's not outdated. We used Hebrews 4 and verse 12, that the word of God is quick, because quick there means living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder in soul and spirit, the joints of the marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And we pointed out in that lesson how heaven and earth will pass away, but the Lord's word will not. Matthew 24 and verse 35. His living word does not authorize us to abort unborn children. But man says they're not children. Man wants to argue that in the womb, it's a clump of cells. That's not what God says. The living word of God, I'm going to give you a series of scriptures and just hear what is said. In Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 and 22, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. In Exodus 21, 22, and 25, if a man strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. He shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. In 2 Samuel 11, 5, this is when David commits adultery with Bathsheba. Says the woman conceived, so this is conception, and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Job, as he begins his complaining, says in chapter 3, 1 through 3, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it said, there is a man child conceived. Ladies and gentlemen, life begins at conception. 2 Samuel 11, 5 and Job 3, 1 through 3. That's not the way man sees it, is it? In the New Testament, Matthew 1, 23, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted as God with us. Before birth, God says, this is a child. Matthew 24, 19, when Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, he says, woe to them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. When the baby's in the womb, Jesus says, they're with child. In Luke 1, 41, came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. In the womb, not a clump of cells, a babe. Case proven, right? I think I just gave you seven references. Children, a babe. When God made man, he made a living soul. Genesis 2 and verse 7. Said, Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So what is God's viewpoint? Not man's viewpoint. What's God's viewpoint when man takes life? Because I've proven the premise of everything I'm going to present here momentarily is that in the womb, from conception, that's a child, that's a life, that's a living soul. So what's God's viewpoint when somebody takes a living soul? In Genesis 9 and verse 6, prior to the law of Moses, right? Says this, whoso sheddeth man blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. In Leviticus 24, 17, he that killeth any man shall be put to death. In Numbers 35, 30, whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Abortion clinics, hospitals, Planned Parenthood, pregnant women who choose to abort children are murderers. They've taken life. God's view of the taking of innocent life, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, think about these things the Lord hates. What's an abomination to him? These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. That's what an unborn child is, folks. Innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Exodus 23 and verse 7 says this, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and the righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. If you take innocent life, you are wicked. And under the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 27, verse 25, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say amen. So what about those abortion clinics, doctor's offices, etc.? God holds them accountable too. It's not a medical procedure. It's murder. It's murder. It's the taking of the life of the innocent. What's the eternal punishment for that? For murder. Revelation 21:8. The fearful, unbelieving, abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's murder, and God is going to give punishment for all eternity to murderers. You know, in God's word, we gain great depths of wisdom. That even before conception, God knows the life that is going to be in that womb. He told Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, before I formed thee in the womb, in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God knows human life before conception. So when a human being says, I'm going to take the life of this other human being that's in me, you've taken the life of someone God has known. That human life is not yours to take. That human life is from God. In Psalm 139, 13 through 16, thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And all thy book, all my members were written, which in the continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Before the human life is even fully developed, God knows this person. Children are called an heritage, meaning a possession, a property, an inheritance of the Lord. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. An heritage of the Lord. And yet man says, and woman says, it's a clump of cells. It's a mistake. I don't want them. You know, you could go to a doctor. In fact, this didn't happen when my children were born, but I've heard of recent years, those that are with children. In recent years, even 20 years ago, my children are a little bit older than these tests from my recollection. They did have tests, but nowhere near what they have today. Where they will test if your child's going to have some kind of mental issue. I have three children. Those of you that know me, you know that my middle child, my daughter, her precious soul, that she has a physical mental ailment. She was first diagnosed with autism at 3 years old, and then that diagnosis was upgraded to mental retardation. The medical field would give me an option today to take a test. And if it were perceived that she had certain genes, like those with Down syndrome, and I'm not sure of all these tests and I haven't looked into them, so I'm just speaking in general. Don't feel the need to write me and argue with me. But there are these tests, I'm sure of that. My brethren have told me of them. And you could get this test and you could say, nah, I don't want it. I don't want it. I couldn't imagine life without my daughter. I wrote an article years ago about she's my amazing masterpiece. How dare man think it right that because something is wrong with her, she's not worthy to live? She lives. And she lives abundantly. And while she has terrible moments because her mind doesn't function properly, she has many more moments of joy, and she'll have eternal life. And I look forward to eternity with my daughter, where I can get to know her in an unbroken way. How dare man say, abort that life? My life without my daughter is unimaginable. She has taught me so great many things. How dare man think he has the right to abort what is a gift from God? His possession, his inheritance. And since we know it's an abomination to him, what do you think happens to those that anger God? Hebrews 10, 30 and 31 says, we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 12, 29 says, our God is a consuming fire. You could take that day after pill, or now there's other pills too, from what I understand. This is a subject I don't even want to investigate any further than what I already know. To think that human life can be destroyed so easily. Just take this pill. It's terrible. Do you not see what our world is doing? Our world is saying, if you don't want it, it, not him or her, it, just take this pill. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Now, what about the excuses? The rape excuse, or like I was talking about, genetic disorders. How can you punish the child? You don't think that that baby feels being torn apart in the other things that happen to them? Have you ever gone to a doctor with a pregnant woman? And if there's a problem, you know what they'll say? The child's under distress. That's a living, breathing human being. Why would you punish an innocent human being? God doesn't. If a woman's raped, that man ought to be punished, but the child should not. Deuteronomy 24, 16, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man should be put to death for his own sin. I mean, Exodus chapter 20 deals with that as well. Don't punish the child. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through rape. If my wife was raped, I can't imagine what she'd have to live through. I would do everything that I could to comfort her, and I know it would be an unimaginable amount of mental anguish. But if she were with child, neither one of us would ever consider killing that child. We would raise that child, understanding that's an innocent soul. Those who understand God's word, who look for what is right from his word, we know better than to kill a child of a sinner for a father's transgressions. In 2 Chronicles 25, first four verses, Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. But he slew not their children, but did as written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Children are innocent. Psalm 106, 37, 38, where they are sacrificing their sons and their daughters unto devils. The Lord said, shed innocent blood. Even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed on the idols of Canaan and the land, was polluted with blood. They shed innocent blood. And those were children that were born. In Matthew 18, children outside the womb, innocent. First six verses of Matthew 18. Same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever there shall for humble himself as this little child, same as greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receive from me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it better for him that a millstone were hanging by his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. The point being, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, to be converted and become as little children, we esteem to be innocent as children are innocent. Look, your life may be inconvenienced if you have a quote-unquote unwanted pregnancy. My daughter is going to be with my wife and I the rest of the days of our life, and she brings challenges to our daily life. There are a lot of things we don't get to do because of our daughter. So what? So what? Who cares? It's not worthy of taking her life. She's innocent in this. What's wrong with our world? How corrupt? How evil? The scriptures. We're supposed to look and see if it's right. Does God say it's right? But what about people who take the wrong view? Well, there's nothing in the scriptures that say, do not have an abortion. Yeah, that's the wrong view. To say God's silence is permissive is the wrong view. Do you know God's word said we can't act? In Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, says, every word of God is pure, is a shield, and then put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and be found a liar. At the end of John's Revelation, the book of Revelation, he says regarding the things in that book, for I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. You cannot change God's word by adding to it and say his silence is permissive. God authorizes because he didn't condemn. That's the such a wrong, terrible way to look at the scriptures. And yet there are people that unless there's a specific statement, abortion is sinful, they'll think it's okay. Wow. Wow, right? Now, they won't think that way with everything, just the things that they want to do. I'll go to my favorite. There's nothing that says child molestation is sinful. That specific phrase is not in the Bible. Now, fornication is. Fornication is illicit sexual intercourse, which means unlawful sexual intercourse. There's no authority for homosexuality. There's no authority for bestiality. There's no authority for child molestation, which makes them all fornication, which makes them it wrong. Same thing with abortion. If we take God's word and we start speaking where he hasn't, Galatians 1:8-9, Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, any of that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel, any of that which you have received, let him be accursed. When you go to the doctrines of men, Colossians 2:20-22, wherefore if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though loving the world, are you subject to ordinances? Or living in the world, I'm sorry. Why are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. So what's going to happen if you obey the doctrines and commandments of men? You perish. But wait. It's her body, right? And that what gets screamed by those that defend abortion? No, it's not. Not only for the obvious reasons the way I've stated, that's a baby. Listen, if I'm holding a baby in my arms, that's the same thing as holding a baby in the womb. You are holding the life of a human being that is not you. And it's not your body, by the way. 1 Corinthians 6:20, to the saints in Corinth, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirits, which are God's. If you want to glorify God, once you are pregnant with child, once you has conceived, do all that you can to bring that life into the world. Before we conclude, I've got you in 1 Corinthians 6. I want you to back up. For those of you out there that may have had an abortion, you are a murderer, but you can change that. You can have that murder taken off your account. This is the beauty of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. If you'll abhor what you did, like Job abhorred himself for what he did, Job 42, 1 through 6. I want you to think about what's said here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. It says, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice this. Such were some of you. You see, sin can be part of your past, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You can be made clean. You can have your sins washed away. To the Christians in Asia, they were reminded of something about Jesus. In Revelation 1:5, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You can have your sins washed away. In Romans, the 6th chapter, this is written to people who are already Christians. Verses 1 through 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7 says, he that is dead is freed from sin. Meaning you have been justified. You've been made innocent from that sin. Even though you were a murderer, the Apostle Paul, he took the lives of innocent saints. Wrote in 1 Timothy 1:12 through 16, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a prosecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. Hear this. And worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. You know, when Paul was sent to Ananias, and Ananias met him and taught him as commanded by the Lord. Ananias said to Paul in Acts 22, 16, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Notice this. And wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gives you, if you have murdered the innocent, the opportunity to have that removed from your account. Question is, you want to take advantage of that opportunity? Or do you want to continue in sin? Well, if you continue in sin, grace is not going to be abound. We read that in Romans 6, 1 and 2. But salvation can be yours. The scriptures do not authorize abortion. That makes it wrong. The scriptures show us that the taking of innocent life is an abomination of the Lord, and that there will be hell to pay for that. Scriptures also show us that there's a way to escape that judgment. If you're out there and you have committed this horrendous act or any other, please get a hold of me. Let me help you through the gospel of Jesus Christ have those sins removed. Whatever it is, let me help you. I thank you so much for listening. Oh, I'm looking at the timer here. I must have been talking really fast because it's a little bit of a shorter podcast. Well, I hope it's been beneficial, though, and informative. And if you've had doubts on abortion, I don't know how you can after we've looked at these scriptures. But I'm thankful that you've listened, given me the opportunity to teach on this subject matter. If all goes according to plan, I'll be back on Tuesday with our next podcast in the book of James. Thanks so much for listening. Until then, I'll say goodbye.